We have been having an awesome time reading through Acts. What a good, great book to be reading through post-Easter, just tracking along with, you know, what was going on, what happened in that space after Jesus rose. And, I mean, I just, as I read through it, I just get astounded by the sense of joy. Like the joy that these people had, the release that they had from everything in their world, even though it might have still been existing, the release they had in their spirit, the joy that they had, the incredible strength that they had to get out there and tell about Jesus, tell about what he's done. And we looked at last week, Jeff did a big intro into the book of Acts. And up on the screen is the little three circles that he talked about, that it's talking about this radical community, radical mission, and power of the Holy Spirit. We got those three circles somewhere? Oh, it's all right. They're coming. There they are. So the radical community, radical mission, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Jeff reminded us that, like, all three things need to work together. Otherwise, we can go a bit wacko. Like, if we just focus on the Holy Spirit, that can be a bit weird. If we just go to a radical community, that can be a bit weird too. And if you just have a radical mission, then who knows what that mission is going on about. The three of them need to work together in order to just, unfold God's plan. And it's the intersection of these three things that it's also the core of the church. It reflects the beauty of God also as the three parts of God. Because in God, he is community. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, he is community. He embodies what community is. He is the overarching, embracing community that we need. Jesus fulfilled the mission to bring us into that community. That's what he wanted to do, is to bring us into the community of God, and the Holy Spirit empowers us to do that, be part of that mission today, to continue to reach out in our own lives and also in the lives of the people around us to bring them into the community of God. And so as we move on and focus on the next little section of Acts, today I'm focusing on Acts 4 to 8. And I hope you have your Bibles that you can just flip around with me, because I did not want to be so horrible to the back desk and give them endless references, because it's really hard up there sometimes. So pull out your Bibles and just flick around with me in this Acts 4 to 8 so that we can see what's going on. Because when we jump into this part of Acts is we start discovering some really incredible situations that the early Christians and the early church, as they began to live following Jesus and what their context looked like, and it kind of can blow our minds away about how this all worked out. And one of those things in those particular chapters, what stands out is their ability to stand firm in the opposition they started to receive. Because they were starting to live by convictions about Jesus. And that conflicted with their traditions, it conflicted with the religion that they had grown up in, it conflicted with the Roman culture that they were also kind of mixing in. And so these convictions they had about Jesus started to make waves around them. But in these chapters, we just see how they could stand firm in the middle of all of that. And we kind of can look at them and we go, oh, well, they're apostles, and, you know, they, like, do we need to be special like that? Do we need to be an apostle or super spiritual like Stephen? Like, I mean, he was just crazy. And we can get intimidated by what we see and think that it was just set for a certain time and for a certain place, and that's not for us now. But when we go deeper into those and we read through those chapters, we see that there wasn't actually anything particularly that they had that we can't have. There was nothing in their ability to stand firm that's not available to us today. There's this common denominator in all of these people. So, you know, Peter and Stephen and the other believers we come across, that was a core of their strength to be able to stand. And when I looked at that and I noticed it lines up with that radical community. It lines up with the radical mission. It lines up with the Holy Spirit. It lines up with those three things are present in everything, in every part of those situations we come across. And so in Acts 4, jumping into Acts 4, you know, Peter has been brought before the council and they're really cranky with him because he's just healed someone on a Sabbath and he's kind of getting everyone else excited about what's going on and starting to preach Jesus and tell them that it's not him that's done this, but it's Jesus who's healed and Jesus is alive. And so he's, you know, just getting everyone offside. So he's brought before them, they accuse him, they tell him to stop talking about Jesus. And then he comes out, and after Peter is freed, we see that he comes and he finds the other believers, because these believers are gathered. They're together. They're in a spot. They're gathered. They're surrounding him. And, you know, I see in this, and then again we see across in Acts 5, we see that they're gathering regularly at Solomon's colonnade. It was the outer part of the temple where not only, you know, Jews could be, but everyone could be. The women's area, the you know, it was available to people to congregate together in the temple, not just in the inner courts, not just where the men went, but it was accessible to the women as well. And so the gathering in these places where they can be together, the men, the women, the children, and just encouraging each other and talking about Jesus and worshipping him. They're gathering specifically when there's a need, when Peter's being held, you know, held for questioning. They're gathering specifically. They're uniting in prayer. They've got a common goal with what's going on. They're praying together. They're worshiping together. In Acts 5:41, we hear that they worship. And even later on in Acts, we hear that they're becoming more and more radical as they start inviting and including non-Jews, Gentiles, into this space with them, which was completely unheard of. To be eating and fellowshipping with people that were not Jews. And so this community that they are building is incredibly important to their ability to stand, because they know that they have people around them. They're involved in something which is on a radical mission together. Because now they're living under the Great Commission, the commission that Jesus gave them to go out into all the world and to tell about him, to give the good news. Their purposes are not their own. They're starting to shift their views into the witness that God gave them, the witness that Jesus was, that Jesus preached about forgiveness and his resurrection enabled things to be put right, to flip things around. So that no longer was there just a restricted way to know God, but that all people to come under that. And, you know, that was ridiculously good news. Like, that brought joy. That there was a way finally, that God's Messiah had come. That this this Savior who they had been waiting for forever had arrived. That was incredible news, that they wanted to express that and tell people about that, because it wasn't about just this a lifestyle. It wasn't about, you know, just, okay, you can live well now and all that. It was about being connected into the community of God. And this was the news that they had, that there was this community in God that they could now connect with directly. They didn't have to do all the sacrifices. They didn't have to tick all the boxes, but they could directly be connected with this community of God. And that was incredibly good news. In Acts 7, we see that Stephen, he's kind of splitting open the old wineskins, and he's showing how the central purposes of the Old Testament was the Messiah, that he was the central purpose, and that he had now come, and that there was now a new covenant, and that was this radical mission that they were on, that they wanted to share this with the world. They wanted to share it with their people, that the Messiah had come. And I mean, I read these and I see these people doing this and I get excited, because I see how passionate they were, not about making their community right, but they were passionate about Jesus. They were passionate about him being the Messiah, about him being the Savior, about him being the only way that anyone could actually know God. And that was their passion. And they were filled with the Spirit. All throughout Acts, we keep seeing these bits where they go, they were filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. They were in a building in Acts 4:31 and they were praying and the meeting shook and they were filled with the Spirit. And when Stephen stood up, he was a man full of grace and power and he performed amazing miracles. But when he stood up to speak, when he spoke in front of everyone, he was filled with the Spirit of God, that he could stand there with the Holy Spirit and empower him to get the message across with clarity of what had to happen. There were men and there were women, and later on there was Gentiles. The power of the Holy Spirit didn't distinguish between Jews and Gentiles, you know, overall in Acts. He was poured out over all people. He was poured out over men and women. And It's a new shift and it's a new age in God and what he's doing on earth. We do read in Acts that there seems to be a distinct gift that's apart from receiving Jesus' belief, that people would believe, but then they would ask for the gift of the Holy Spirit, that there was a distinct understanding that there was something more that could be had to empower, not for salvation, but to empower in this life, to actually take hold of the life that you have and to run with it, to share it with other people, to get it out there. And when I see all these three things together, I guess, you know, I reflect over different stories that I've read in the past and people that I know, and I think, wow. When I look at, when I hear their stories, you know, I've read, you know how you read those kind of Christian biographies and things, autobiographies? And I remember reading one about a Pakistani lady who converted to Jesus in the 50s. And despite family and rejection and death threats, she followed Jesus because she found a community of people. And she had a mission to share Jesus. And she was empowered by the Holy Spirit to keep going. I read a story about a young preacher in the 50s making a difference in the slums and gangs of New York. A young man in China risking everything to tell others about Jesus in the 80s. Like, these are crazy stories. There's stories across generations of people. There's stories in our church that I know, of people that have faced things but have gathered in a community have sought prayer and power of the Holy Spirit to make that thing shift, to stand firm in what they believe, and in the middle of that have stood firm and come out on top. And there's probably still things that things have to go through. But the common things have been a community of people, a convictions in Jesus, and the Holy Spirit to empower. And so as I read through Acts and I remember that this is not just a history book for me to go, oh, that's interesting. How cool is that back in Acts? But this is actually a living word that's for me. And I might not be personally facing persecution like the apostles. But when I look around my world, I kind of go, I don't know where it's heading. And I don't know where it's going to, you know, what I am going to have to face. But am I ready? Am I ready to face things if I need to? And so I probably want to look at my convictions. And I want to look and see if I have these common denominators in place, ready. That's good. So what are my convictions? Are my convictions Jesus? That's really down to it. Are my convictions Jesus, or have I kind of convicted about a lifestyle? Or am I convicted about a moral high ground? Like these are not places to launch pad, you know, our convictions from. It's the message of Jesus that's the cornerstone. You know, Psalm 118, it comes up in Acts 8. A lot of the Psalms do. They rest on the Old Testament. It talks about Jesus is the cornerstone. Like this is my conviction. That Jesus is the only way to be in community with God. There is no other way. Am I willing to stand on that? No matter how harsh that might seem, do I stand on Jesus? Because in Jesus, what I see is hope. I see victory. I see possibilities. I see joy. I see freedom. I see forgiveness. I see compassion. In so many other places, I don't see that. What I see is fear. That is not Jesus. What I see is regulation. That is not Jesus. Binding up to things, that's not Jesus. Jesus is the cornerstone, and he's in this book. It's about him, a life of freedom and forgiveness. And when I stand on that and that alone, that's where freedom comes and life comes and purpose. And so I need to know this. I need to delve into this and love this. And I also need to work out if I have in place common denominators of people who do stand firm. Am I part of a community? Is it radical? I don't know. Are we radical? We should be, exactly. If I'm not radical enough, what am I doing about it? If I don't like the community I'm in, if I find problems with it, have I done anything to make it better? If I don't like the morning tea, I'm sure it's good, Wendy. Scones are good. Have I bought something for it? You know, a community is people who get in and be part of it. Do I like what it's, you know, are we doing enough in our city? Am I doing enough in our city? Am I doing enough to share the good news? Am I doing enough to share the good news? Am I speaking these things? It's not about the other person in my community. It's about me. That's what makes this community work, is that together we are part of doing something. Together we're standing for. I'm not an isolated warrior. It just doesn't work. I don't have a mission in myself. I don't have an agenda that's in myself. It's a part of God's mission together in this community. So do I have that in place? And is that mission on track? Have I kind of gone off track a little bit and running down one path, which might be kind of a nice moral thing, but is it Jesus? Is it his heart? Is it his purpose? Is it salvation? Is it forgiveness? Because Jesus' mission, it crosses cultures, it crosses nations, it crosses genders, it crosses generations. It doesn't need to worry about those things. Because his heart of connecting us in community with God goes beyond those things. As much as we love our diversity in nations and across the world, in an amazing way, Christ unites us despite those differences, because it doesn't need to worry about them. And the third thing I need to check with myself is, am I being empowered by the Holy Spirit? Is it the Holy Spirit that I'm leaning on? Am I seeking Him? Or is it just, am I operating through myself, my own knowledge, my own ability? Or am I learning every day to submit to Him, to come under His ability and His purposes? And I think as we, you know, we're in this period of between Easter and Pentecost. And yes, funnily enough, we're a Pentecostal church. We believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. We believe that the power of the Holy Spirit is active and alive today. We believe that He can work through us, that He can give us signs and wonders. And we might be sad that we don't see that, but we need to keep hungering for that and asking for that, just like they used to in Acts. They asked for the Holy Spirit to come and be amongst them and empower them to do things. And I want to be someone that keeps asking for that. Even if I get disappointed when I don't see it happening the way I want it to, I want to be someone that keeps asking for that and longing for that and inviting the Holy Spirit into that space. And so for us today, I guess I just put that question, those two questions out to you. Like when we read Acts and we see this amazing community, Laura, if you want to pop up. Like, does it stir us? Do we just get nostalgic about what has been in the past? Or do we get hungry? Hungry for what can still happen today. Hungry for what Jesus can still bring to our world. Hungry for what the Holy Spirit can do through us. And these people weren't anything special. They were just people. They were just people who submitted themselves to Jesus. They came under Him and they asked the Holy Spirit to work through them. And that's all Jesus asked for us today, is to submit ourselves under Him and to ask the Holy Spirit to work through us, to invite Him into our world. And so I guess I just ask, you know, us today is like, what are your convictions? When something kind of, when you read something and, or you see something, like, you know, read the paper this morning, I probably shouldn't have, because it's just tragic. It just makes me so sad what happens in our world. Just so want these people to know Jesus. Like, it would be so different in our world. Jesus does not, He is not aggressive. He's not standing for His rights. He's not angry about something in His world. He's full of compassion and forgiveness and peace. That is Jesus, and that is what our world needs. If we can bring those things, if that's the convictions that we stand on, I really don't care how people might live. God can work that bit out. care about their heart for Jesus. I want Jesus to be in the middle of them, because that will flow out. He will sort out the bits and pieces. So in this community, can we be a place where Jesus is real and bringing life and love and looking past the bits and pieces? That's what our world needs. And then I guess I want to ask you, like, have you got those things in place? Are you really part of a community, or do you just come sometimes? Are you really sown in? Do you share your life with these people? Do you give the good and the bad? Do you, you know, knock, touch them on the shoulder and go, I heard you had a bad week. How are you going? Can I pray for you? Are we interested in other people, or are we just wanting to tell our own story? The community listens and gathers and jumps into the gap where things are missing. And, you know, the mission. Do we have our mission right? Is it Jesus? And are we really, really, really hungry for the Holy Spirit? I'm convicted by Acts. I read that. And I go, I fall short of that. But each day I can keep, you know, I can keep going. So I just invite you to come on this journey too, to take hold of this book, to take it seriously. Our world needs it. Our world needs people who really, really, really want to take hold of the message of Jesus and pour it into this world in a real way, in an everyday. I'm just going to pray. Lord God, actually, I'll just get you to stand. Because I'm not sure any of us do this perfectly. I just pray, Lord God, we're here this morning gathered as a community under your name. Lord God, we just ask that you would help us to just to build up your mission in our midst, the mission of Jesus, to bring life and hope and love and forgiveness and peace to our world. Holy Spirit, we ask you to pour into the midst of us. Lord God, to empower us, to shake us out of ourselves and to bring your power into the middle of us. Lord God, so that we can be radical people for you. Not for ourselves, not for our own things, but for a mission for Jesus, Lord God. And that we can make a difference in the world around us, and in the middle of that we can stand and people will know that there is life here. Lord God, we just thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.